answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The Iranian regime thinks for a second that President Trump is going to stand by while Iran continues to attack international shipping without a response, or our bases without a response. They're sadly mistaken, and they saw that loud and clear over the last few nights, where we'll continue to militarily, if needed, take down their infrastructure that they're trying to use to illegally control an international waterway. And Shannon, just one more point on that. That's not just the United States. That's the entire international community. A UN record, 143 nations have agreed with us that this is in violation of international law. Even the Chinese government has said you cannot be taking tolls or fees. Iran was apparently relying on Oman across the waterway to help it set up this new infrastructure. And now Oman just yesterday has rejected the idea of tolls or fees. So they're completely isolated here.
You know, this ceasefire, or as my executive director Jerome likes to say, ceasefire, as they were describing earlier, it's been on and off, on and off, and more firing over the weekend, and we fired back, which we should. We're not going to take anything from the Iranians. And they had Oman kind of sitting quietly, like maybe they would participate with them. But they're also now lining up and saying, you cannot control the Strait of Hormuz. It is international water. And in that report, as you were listening to, and statements by Ambassador Walz, even China says, no, you can't do that. The whole world is against Iran. And they still don't get it? Unfortunately, it just means more violence possibly for their people. Innocents. Because they like to put a lot of families around any target sites where they're firing missiles and some of their radar sites. So when we retaliate, there's no doubt we're often killing civilians. I'm sure we are. That's not the intent. If you don't put your people inside and around those military facilities we're going after, they won't be bothered. Look at it this way. Have we absolutely tried to level Tehran? No. Because there are a lot of innocent people there. A lot of Iranians who want to be free of the regime they have. But right now they can't. So once again, President Trump says the U.S. and Iran will hold some fresh talks after the strikes strain the ceasefire. They don't strain the ceasefire. They ended the ceasefire. And again, everybody on the left was hollering, and some Republicans, let me remind you, and I think Senator Cruz is one of those as well, who I greatly admire, saying this Iran deal was bad, not a good deal. We were never going to give them everything carte blanche. It was going to be a progressive move forward. You want some of your monies back? You want some opportunities? We will do it, but you must meet this platform. You must go to this stage, and you got to go to the next stage. You're not going to get nothing, baby. Nothing. This is the way they want to play the game? Fine. We can absolutely go forward. Now, again, while Trump is announcing another meeting in Qatar, Tehran said, well, they're mumbling. You don't know what they're saying. I do know this. This is a ruling against the Trump administration and America. And America. From the Supreme Court ruling, which the left believes is only in it for Trump. Listen to this ruling. The court today allowed that state laws allow for counting mail-in ballots after Election Day, and that would not be in violation of federal law. Do you understand that? Anytime they get your election ballot after Election Day, they could count it. Well, today the SCOTUS issued a 5-4 ruling permitting states to count mail-in ballots sent on or before Election Day, but then received by state election officials after Election Day. Do you know how easy it is to stamp, pre-stamp, post-stamp? You understand that. There was a time when you could kite checks. You know what I'm talking about? You could put on a different date, and they'd give it to the party to pay off whatever you're buying. But then you put on a date 6 months down the road. Well, they cannot cash the check until it reaches that. Or more importantly, you could write it and it wouldn't hit your account for several days to come. A lot of that's been resolved. But now, Justice Amy Coney Barrett, selected, nominated by President Trump, wrote the majority's opinion, joined by Chief Justice John Roberts, and of course the usuals, Justice Sotomayor, Kagan, and Ketanji Brown Jackson. Is she a woman or no? Oh, she doesn't know. Never mind. The court writes, two principles are important here. First, post-election day receipt, considered on its own, does not conflict with election day statutes. Second, state law is preempted by federal election day statutes, quote, so far as the conflict extends. Sounds like a little mumble jumble, but what they're talking about, a Mississippi law that would lose the challenge they pressed in this litigation, that if you're getting in late, it's not going to be acceptable. I don't care if it's postmarked on time or not. If you're not getting it to us in time. Now, who are you going to blame? The Postal Department or really the cheater? This opens another door for cheating. Justice Samuel Alito, dissenting opinion, joined by Justices Thomas and Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. The court concludes that the election day statutes merely require that each individual cast a vote on or before election day, as Alito writes. But of course, if that's all the election day statutes require, some say there's no sense in with the electorate as a whole can be seen as making its choice on election day. Election day is a specified day, not a span of multiple days. The election day statutes require federal elections occur on that date. States can do a lot of what they want to do, and this just basically opened the door for them. And it opened the door for the left for more mass cheating. Make no mistake about it. All right, thanks for joining us today, number one of Monday of the week, June 29, 2026. Hot enough for you? Oh, it can get hotter. Well, I'm not even talking about the weather. I'm talking about this program. Welcome to Hour 1, Larry Connors USA. With Larry Connors USA, you get news, analysis, opinion, and education on each and every program. You leave with more knowledge than you had when you began. Met some of the folks at our fifth birthday party we had out at Colville, Frankie Martin's, over the weekend, and they were all talking about, man, I'm learning something every day on your program. Good. I appreciate it. Spread the word. In our next hour, Elliot Davis, formerly for many years with Fox News, was on the Mike Ferguson Show today. And they're talking about where the city stands on really trying to enforce law and protect you. You, the common law-abiding citizen. Whether or not you live in St. Louis or you're visiting. And in fact, if you're visiting in St. Louis, as they were the other night at a soccer game, shots fired near the stadium. People were huddling in fear. The game delayed for better than an hour. Now, the shots were not fired at the stadium, but they were nearby. And one of the guys doing the shooting apparently was wearing an ankle bracelet. Now, you tell me where the law is falling short. That'll be coming up a little bit later. And also, shield law for journalists. This is to protect journalists so they can protect their sources. I've been down that road before, and my guest coming up will talk about a case filed against a reporter being fined $800 a day for refusing to disclose sources. Some developments on that case still to come. And the story behind the story, when news actually imposes self-censorship, why would it do that? Well, let me put it this way. I know it exists because I have participated. I have participated in self-censorship, and I have no issue with it. I'll explain to you a little bit later in our story behind the story. Now, coming up, the latest report from CNN and NN, which I know they hated, as Harry Hinton pointed out, look what Trump is doing with his ratings.
Republicans love Donald Trump more than any president's own party supporters loved him at this particular point. Just take a look here. Okay, own party supporters, 21st century presidents, own party approval about at this point in the second term. Bush was at 77%. Obama was at 77%. Look at this. 86% of Republicans approve of the job that Donald Trump is doing at this point. That is higher than either Obama or Bush had within their own party at this point. Trump's magic touch has not seemed to wore off yet when it comes to the Republican base.
And what kind of approval are we talking about here?
Okay, so we're talking about overall approval here. How about the strongly approved, not just like, but love, love. Okay, we're going to look at these same presidents again. Strong approval among your own party's base. What you see here is Trump is the only one who gets a majority at this point in their presidency. Obama was at 48%. Bush was at 47%. You see here Trump at 53%. Not as high as overall approval rating, but still getting a majority of the Republican base, at least in the average of polls, to say that they still really, really, really like him.
And you know why? You know why? Because he's defending our nation. I know the naysayers are always trying to say, well, he's just bad overall. Here's something Trump is pressing that we must protect our nation.
With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible, right? All things. That's why, as we prepared to enter the 250th year last month, tens of thousands of patriots came together on our National Mall, and we officially rededicated America as one nation under God. And we're not changing. We're not changing.
That's exactly.
And we always have been, and we always will be. We're not going to let him take it away.
No, we're not. One nation under God, as we end every program. There are some Democrats, they want that phrase stricken. Don't say one nation under God. Ken Williams, the producer for the Vic Perselli Show, got a collection of some of the Islamic clerics. Here's what they want.
Islam came to conquer the world.
Conquered the entire world.
The Ottomans, as the shield of the Ummah, defeated the British twice. If you want to bring back Khilafah...
Don't get angry at me that, hey, we don't have a caliphate. I'm sorry, okay? People talking about establishing Islamic superpower, I mean, how?
Yeah.
It's all I'm saying. Allah promised that he will make you rulers upon the earth.
The caliphate is a government, a state, which rules by the Quran and Sunnah, and there is one leader, and that state has borders. But those borders, they expand and they literally annex other countries until the whole world is literally under that governing authority.
Islam is supposed to keep expanding and expanding and expanding and expanding until it takes over the entire world.
Islam is very clear. The Quran is very clear. The Hadith is very clear. All humankind must submit under Islam, period.
See, Islam is not just about your own individual submission to Allah. It is about that profound mission of subjugating all of creation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That is the attitude of clerics, Islamic clerics, and many of them pushing Sharia law. And then you've got Minnesota Congresswoman Omar showing how much she disrespects the very nation in which she sits in our U.S. Capitol.
It is appalling for our colleagues on the other side of the aisle to be okay for the president to carry out retribution here in Minnesota. It is appalling for our Republican colleagues to be okay for there to be cell detentions in ICE for American citizens. It is appalling for them to be okay for there to be checkpoints in American cities where people are asked for their papers. And it is appalling for Americans to have to carry their citizen papers only to be told they are not sure if those papers are correct. I don't want to curse, but those of us who escaped places like that, the one place where we thought we would never experience this is the U.S. goddamn states.
Yeah, thank you very much for that clarification. We are asking for your identification if you're trying to vote. That is the issue. Or if you're of age to buy liquor and things of that nature. Where else are you asked for your papers? Give me a break. She summed it up in her final remarks about how she described the USA. Immigrants did help make our nation. We know that. But many now immigrants already here, those who actually became citizens possibly, and those who came illegally under Biden, they want to destroy the USA, and they continue to get support from the progressive left, the Minnesota mayor.
Through the most difficult of times and through Operation Metro Surge, we all saw that they tried to come for some of us. And when that happens, we say that you're coming for all of us. In Minneapolis, we love our neighbors. In Minneapolis, we do not see you as immigrants. We see you as our family. Wa'alaya. Wa'alaya. You're our brothers. You are our sisters. You have done so much for this incredible city, and for that, we stand with you.
That is the mayor of Minnesota. He's not mentioning all the fraud that's taking place within Minnesota by Somalis, be they naturalized citizens now or brought here illegally under Joe Biden. And of course, the Supreme Court, as you know, the other day pointed out that thousands of Haitians and Syrians now risk the right to live and stay here because they have temporary status. Temporary means exactly that. So the High Court said, no, they have to be and can be deported. Mayor Mondami, quickly pointing out, we will never allow that administration strip deportation for our Haitian and Syrian migrants. And then Debbie Wasserman Schultz down in Florida says, oh my God, who's going to do the work?
Hundreds of thousands of families who followed the law, passed multiple criminal background checks, earned work permits, and paid taxes will be torn apart, thrown in ICE jails, or sent back to a nation overrun by criminal gangs who murder and kidnap at will. Haitian American children, U.S. citizens, will be orphaned, detained in horrific conditions, or deported alongside their parents to imminent danger. Americans will pay even higher prices for groceries, health care, housing, and child care.
See, it's going to cost you more if we get rid of them. That reminds me, back during the Obama administration, when they were dealing with the illegal immigration, I remember specifically, don't recall her name, but another Florida representative saying, who's going to make our hotel beds if all the illegals are sent out? In other words, that's all they're good for, right? That's what you're suggesting. You're demeaning them. Well, you think you're building them up. We'll spend more on that in the next hour. Coming up, an $800 a day fine imposed on journalists who would not reveal sources. $800 a day. What's the update on that story? And the story behind the story. When news organizations self-censorship, and why that can be a good thing, and why I have been involved in self-censorship. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. And John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem? He can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gazoon's height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesund Heit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear gazoon's height, Think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Some of you might recall Catherine Heritage. She was a Canadian journalist who worked for CBS News as a correspondent from 2019 to 2024. And the other day, she was hit with an $800 a day fine because she would not reveal confidential sources. But the Supreme Court stepped in and stayed that order. But we need more details on it. And to help us with it is my guest, Seth Stern, Director of Advocacy, Freedom of the Press Foundation. Seth, welcome aboard.
Great to be here.
All right, and again, I want to point out to the audience, for the Freedom of Foundation, their website says protecting journalists and their sources, which is what all of us in this business want to see happen. What happened with Catherine Heritage? Heritage, I should say.
So Catherine Heritage at this time was at Fox News. This was around 2017. She investigated a Chinese-American scientist who had been receiving reimbursements, financial assistance from the U.S. government for an online college she was operating. The FBI had previously investigated this scientist's alleged ties to the Chinese military, had closed the investigation in 2016. After Heritage investigated, the scientist lost her funding through the U.S. government, and she sued the FBI under the Privacy Act, claiming that the details of the investigation had been improperly leaked to Heritage. In order to find out who leaked, or who allegedly leaked to Heritage, the plaintiff, the scientist Yangping Chen, subpoenaed Heritage for her sources. And Heritage has been fighting that subpoena for quite some time now. The most recent development, as you said, the appellate court upheld the order requiring her to testify, to burn her sources. upheld the prior order holding her in contempt and ordering her to pay $800 a day until she reveals her sources. The Supreme Court then stepped in and stayed the fine so that it can decide whether it is going to hear the case. So for the time being, at least, Herridge is not required to pay $800 a day, but that's temporary. We'll see what the Supreme Court does.
And that is a chilling effect. But do you know if she's paid any of it prior to the Supreme Court putting the stay in?
The daily fine, I don't believe she did, but I can't say for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know whether she's paying out of pocket or whether Fox is covering it. I would hope they would cover it since she was working for them at the time, but I can't confirm that.
Yeah, an $800 a day fine for every day you don't report it, that's different than saying we're going to put you in jail and hold you in contempt of court, which a judge can always make that decision and hold you in contempt, and contempt can last until the judge decides otherwise. Or you get an appellate ruling or another ruling to help get you out, correct?
Yeah, it's just an alternate remedy for contempt. Judges have the power to jail people for contempt until they comply, or to fine them until they comply. So in this case, the judge chose a rather significant, you might say, draconian fine, rather than jail.
Well, you know, you look at a week, five times $800, we can do our multiplication, that versus being 5 days in jail, which is going to be more punishing to you. But the point is to silence journalists and chill the freedom they have and to make them reveal sources.
Right. Investigative journalism depends on confidential sources. People who are in a position to know about abuses, in a position to know about corruption, they come forward at great personal risk and generally are wanting to keep their identities protected. Their families could be at risk. Their jobs could be at risk. Their freedom could be at risk. These are whistleblowers. So they're not going to come forward if they don't trust that journalists are going to be able to protect their identity. And when they know that a journalist may be fined $800 a day, that's a lot of trust you're asking these people to place in a journalist, that they're going to risk financial ruin just to protect them. You know, these are usually journalists that the sources don't know all that well. These aren't old friends. So that's a lot of trust to place in somebody. And when that precedent is set, it chills whistleblowers. It chills sources. People are very hesitant, as you would understand, to come forward.
Several decades ago in Houston, I was facing a similar case. In fact, I was going to be held in contempt if I did not reveal sources. Another reporter got the same threat and folded and gave his sources. We were standing firm that I was not going to give my sources, even though the station was saying, maybe you should do that one. And even the station attorney saying, let's just put this, said, not going to. I had the job offer to come to St. Louis. Part of the case was going up before a federal court. I had to go with my attorney into the federal judge's chambers and agree that if he found me in contempt, I would waive extradition to go back to the state of Texas. And if I wouldn't do that, then he was never going to let me leave the state. Finally, the case got resolved without my sources ever being revealed by me. But I still felt the weight on my shoulders. But I thought, this is the right thing to do.
It was. And I commend you for making that decision.
Well,
I
appreciate it. I'm not looking for praise. I'm just talking about what it means for the basis of free press.
Right. Well, the press is the fourth estate, which means it's not an arm of any of the branches of government. It is an independent watchdog. So if prosecutors, or in cases like Herridge, civil plaintiffs, can simply commandeer the press whenever convenient for them, whenever it helps them build their case, that really undermines the independence of the press, which is what the Constitution is intended to protect.
And with the Constitution,
and it's not good for press.
I'm sorry. So with the Constitution in place, freedom of the press, you have to ask, why would you need a shield law? But where do we stand on shield laws to protect journalists? And what would they be doing if they were applied?
Yeah, so there are shield laws at the state level. 49 states, I believe the exception is Wyoming, has some form of protection in effect, whether it comes from statute or whether it comes from case law. At the federal level, there is no shield. So certain federal appellate circuits have recognized a shield in some contexts, certain have recognized it in others, some not at all. So the end result of that patchwork is that sources don't know what law is going to apply depending where the journalist might be subpoenaed or where a prosecution might be filed, especially nowadays when the internet opens up jurisdiction pretty much anywhere. So it's really impossible for journalists to give their sources a reliable sense of what the law is and what risks they're taking. There is a federal shield bill called the Press Act that has bipartisan support, actually. In 2024, it passed the House without objection. In the Senate, it had bipartisan sponsorship. It was sponsored by Senators Durbin and Wyden on the Democrat side, and on the Republican side, Senators Graham and Lee. Yep. In the House, also broad bipartisan sponsorship, but it didn't get through. After the election, then President-elect Trump posted on Truth Social that Republicans should kill the bill, and that was more or less the end of it. So I'm hoping that in a future Congress, the Press Act will come back. It's a really good bill. It protects journalists' source confidentiality, essentially, aside from imminent emergency risk of life.
Right, and I have to agree that Trump, I was against him doing that, but let's look at just from that viewpoint in the last minute here. What would be the issues that would come from having a shield law? What harm happens elsewhere beyond journalism?
From having a shield law? Well, I suppose prosecutors and plaintiffs' lawyers would say it makes their job more difficult.
It's tough.
I don't know if you're correct about it.
It's just tough.
Yeah, and I don't know if they're correct, because they wouldn't want journalist sources so badly if journalism wasn't useful to them, if they weren't piggybacking on the work of journalists. So although it might be convenient to them in one given case to get a journalist sources, if they chill investigative journalism overall, that's actually going to harm them.
Good point. Seth, I want to thank you very much for taking time to break some of this down for us. And this is a living story, so we will come back to you in the future on it.
Great. Looking forward to it.
You bet. Seth Stern, Director of Advocacy, Freedom of the Press Foundation. But as you heard him point out, this $800 a day fine against investigative reporter Catherine Herridge for now is being stayed because the Supreme Court issued a stay. And whether or not she's paid any money at this point, we don't know. Which, by the way, Catherine Herridge had written at one point when she got fired from CBS saying, CBS News seized my files. CBS, of course, claiming it's our work, not your work. Well, now what about self-censorship? Are there cases where journalists and organizations employ self-censorship, and there's a good reason for it? Is there one? I've got cases for you.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. VincentsJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team. Built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I guess I grew up on an older road. A pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes are came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream, or feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniels, oh, number seven. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven. And
this is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
Welcome back. I'm going to be dealing with something on a personal level and yet very professional, and it affects the audience on a constant basis and has for decades. If you just missed our last segment, I suggest you pull this program up as a podcast. You can always get every program in case you have to go away and you have to pick it up later. At Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook, or any podcast outlet you want to go to, search LarryConnorsUSA. The guest in the last hour, we were talking about basically shield laws and the need for them and trying to protect sources. Seth Stern, Director of Advocacy, Freedom of the Press Foundation, was addressing the issue. And I'd mentioned to him that there was a case in Houston that I was facing contempt of court. And by contempt of court, the judge can put you in jail just as long as he or she chooses, unless you give whatever they want. And in this case, defense attorneys for a client wanted the names of my sources on some stories I had done. I didn't think, first of all, they needed to bother me with it. If they did any kind of work at all, they'd get it. They just wanted an easy way out. And there was another reporter for a TV station in Houston, I'll put it this way, as politely as I can say, rolled over and gave him sources. Well, I was not going to give mine, and I continued to fight against it, even when the station attorney was saying, look, it's not that big a deal. Let's just go. I said, it is a big deal. You protect your sources. If you lose protection of your sources, they can't trust you anymore, you're dead in the water as a, quote, journalist. And I won't say investigative journalist because every reporter should be an investigative reporter. I don't care if your assigned beat is to go cover new openings of day schools or the latest baby born at the zoo. You're still, quote, an investigative reporter. If you keep your eyes open and your ears open and you pick up information that maybe they didn't intend you to have. Now, again, I'm not looking for praise for what I did. I'm just trying to emphasize how important I believe in protecting sources. And then I had a job offer to come to St. Louis. Well, if I left the state to get me to come back, if they were going to press prosecution of for any reason, or the judge wanted to press basically that I had violated his rule, that I was not adhering to what he wanted, then I would have to go through extradition proceedings to get me to come back, or I could make it that difficult. So before I could leave the state of Texas for the job in St. Louis, with my attorney with me, I had to go visit a federal judge who was overseeing one of the cases still to come. And I had to guarantee to him, with my lawyer present, that I would waive extradition if he found me in contempt of court and wanted me back in the state. And that's the only way I was allowed to leave the state. I did later get called in that trial, called back to Texas, but never put on the stand. So it was never questioned or pushed again. And again, I'm not looking for praise. I'm just telling you how valuable it is for a reporter to protect their sources. But there are other times that we have self-imposed censorship. Look, a lot of folks think, and they're right to assume, that sometimes stories are slanted. You have to understand how a story develops. Let me take you through this. And those of you who are familiar with it, please forgive me if I'm just restating some things for you. But some folks, to help you better understand. So you call a news station, and you call with a story idea. Something maybe good that you want to promote, or maybe something that you've uncovered that you want them to dig into. And I say a news station, it could be a paper or an internet outlet as we have now. But let's stick with the TV scenario for a moment. There are different layers of decisions made on that story. First of all, are we even going to bother to cover it? That's one decision. And two, if we're going to cover it, are we going to send just a photographer to shoot some video or a reporter with them? That's the second decision being made. And then, well, are we going to send our best photographer or our best reporter? Another decision to be made. And then when they do the story, are we going to air it as a reporter and photographer want to put it together? Are we going to chop it up and change it considerably? Another decision. And then are we going to air it just on an early newscast but not the late newscast? Another decision is being made. And then are we going to lift pieces to be used in the future? Another decision. Every step is a decision, and if it's made without bias, if it's made on, quote, journalistic standards and ethics, it's hard to defend and say that it was slanted. And yet, every time you do something like that, you are creating a slant, especially for anyone who's opposed to you ever running the story or how you ran the story, or that you didn't run it enough. You're always under that microscope to that extent. And then you get into the issue of staging. Now, if I ask someone I'm interviewing to move to their right, or we close the curtains on behind them so the sun won't bear in and distort the picture, and I know it will, and the photographer will, in effect, we are staging the interview. Not really. We are manipulating for the benefit of the interview. Do you see a difference? Maybe you don't. I do. But here I'll give you a clear case where you stage something. You're doing a story on fire trucks rushing out to the scene of a crash. Or let me back it up. A police officer rushing to the scene of a crime. But you weren't there when the officer got in his car and went rushing there. So you go back to the station, ask him, come running out, jump in your car, turn on the siren, go roaring past us. That is staging. You were not there when it happened. You recreated. Now, if you say a recreation, that's acceptable. And if the officer shot the suspect and you have him pull out his pistol, you got to, again, if you weren't there at the scene at the time, recreation. That's not a pass to get by with anything, but it restates that you're not claiming this was as it happened. And then if the officer fires a shot, And if you ask the officer to fire his gun into the air, well, first of all, the officer would be stupid to do so. But I've known cases like this where it has happened in deep Texas by some reporters and some officers. That, again, you'd have to put recreation. You weren't there when he actually fired the shot. All of those are slants on a news story. And then we get into the issue of censorship. What do we do? Well, there are times, for instance, if we learn that a bank president's wife, and I had taught decades of this for young journalism students, if the story breaks and you get a tip that the bank president of Bank ABC, his wife has been kidnapped, being held hostage, and he's got to get money out to get to them, and if word gets out to the police, FBI, and of course the media, then they're going to kill the person. So you're aware of the story. Now you've been aware of the threat. Do you want to run the story? Do you want to run the story that might get the woman killed? Of course not. So you self-censorship. But then it gets to two other stories, two other stations. They begin to pick up the information. And then pretty soon you have maybe a prosecutor or a police chief call everybody together and say, or the FBI, and say, look, here's the story. Many of you already have it, but we got to put all of you under a blanket right now, basically under a shield that you're not going to release this information until we say you can. And he details this morning at such and such time, the woman was kidnapped from the home. She's being held, but nothing can be said about they're threatening to kill her. And everyone in the room has agreed that they will abide by that rule. But then one of the young reporters goes running out, calls his radio station, and they get on the story. They get it out right away. Well, once you open the bag of feathers and throw them up, you don't know where they went. You don't know how they got there. And you can call. In fact, I would call the FBI director and say, that station's already released it. So we're going to run the story now because it's out there, and we are going to give the additional facts. What do you want to add to it that might help? And they're going to say, well, don't run it at all. We don't know if they were listening to that station. Doubt they would ever hear that station. But you don't know that. And you don't know whatever someone did hear from the station. They didn't tell someone else who told someone else. You see how it just multiplies. Once the seal is broken, you cannot keep it in confines. The best thing for them to do is give us what information they can to assist. Sometimes they understand that. Sometimes they don't. But up until that point, it is self-censorship. And I've got a couple other cases. One of them involves a pro sports player. I'll leave it at that. A pro sports player that might have been involved in something, but we didn't have proof. And on top of that, I was saying, I don't want it running. I'm going to self-censor. I want us to censor this program and that story because it's wrong. Why would it be wrong? Ah, see, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them, and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
All right, so the story is that basically we do not air the names of victims, especially rape. And now, when I say victims, obviously, if it's a shooting, a stabbing, a car crash, we might well use the names. And often if it's not in our area, I don't even bother to name because no one will know them. It's like naming some guy that's a member of a terrorist squad in Iran that's killed. His name means nothing to you. We just make the association. But a victim in particular, I never want their name used unless they want it to be used. For instance, a victim of rape. There are cases where women come forward and they want their story told, but they don't want to be identified, so we do not use their name. If we shoot pictures of them, we do ways to obscure it. And sometimes I do not never have liked taking a woman's voice and turning it into sound of a truck driver heavy on cigarettes because it takes away all the delicacy of what she went through. and that she was a victim. Comes across as a gruff spoken man as opposed to a woman who is raped. Not that men can't be raped, but I'm talking about in this case. So there was a push for a foundation in St. Louis to raise money for children who were sexually abused. And one of the founders, or at least one of the main participants providing money, was a well-known name in St. Louis. If I said the name, you would know the name. I'm not saying the name. But our reporter said, I verified he is behind this. That's good. But the reason he's behind it is because he was sexually abused repeatedly as a child. I said, he said he wants to talk about that? I said, no. Well, then we're not going to use it. You can't use his name. Why? I said, because he's a victim. He was a victim then, and if you do this story again, he's a victimized over again. But this is explaining, he says, why the money is being put into this project. He said, you can have all that, but except with the name. And I had some real battles with news management at the time because they really wanted to jump on this guy's name. I mean, that was going to make the story. And I would agree if the name were put out there, it would. But it was also a story without that. But my bottom line was, and I won the argument after some furious battling back and forth, run the story, talk about the foundation, talk about the money's going into it, and one of the biggest contributors is doing it because they were a victim themselves in the past. Now, if someone else comes up with a name and puts it out there, that's them. That's not us. But unless the victim says, I want to be identified with this, not because I want publicity, because I'm supporting the cause, but to come forward and say, I've been there. I was a victim of child sexual abuse repeatedly. If they chose to do that, that changes everything. But there are times, again, that self-censorship is important, not just to protect a source, a story itself, but someone's life, as I mentioned with the bank president. You know, you could never run the story on that bank president, but someone else did, but then you eventually do it once the seal is broken and they get a survivor. And they talk about, well, when was the decision made to shoot and kill her? And said, when they heard Larry Connors say on the air her name and that she was being, we were the last to report it, but that's the only one they heard. And I don't want that on my conscience, nor should it be something acceptable inside journalism. So there are times I will push for self-censorship. Do you think it's valid reasoning? Maybe you don't. I think most of you do. And the same thing about protecting the pro sports player. And I still won't give you his name. Coming up, an interview with Elliot Davis on the Mike Ferguson Show this morning. Very interesting. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Under Law. .com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.